welcome to this podcast message from Kingdom Faith.
Wow, it's Father's Day. Had you noticed?
That was so cool.
I actually heard Toby speak. I thought he was just going to sit there for a minute and not say anything. But he actually said something. It's like, wow, I have to keep that. And Clive and Joe aren't here this morning. They're off up at the Grand Prix for the weekend, British Grand Prix. It was Joe's 18th birthday a few weeks ago. Is it me or is it my ears up here? It's a bit boomy. And somebody very kindly bought him a ticket to go to the Grand Prix for the weekend and asked him who he'd like to go with, and he said his dad. So they bought him a ticket as well. So they're both off up there. So it's Joe's 18th birthday present, but I know for Clive it's probably the best Father's Day present he could ever want. Spending the day with his son watching cars go around a racing track. It's a dad thing, a bloke thing. Actually, I did try it once, but it chucked it down with the rain, so I said never again. Yeah, so spending time with his son is his doing what he loves most, his favourite pastime, and just all about relationship between, you know, a father and his child. And I want to speak for a while about the father's heart and the father's heart towards us, his children. And then we're going to go on into something else. But God does want to minister to some people today. And so we're going to get there. Thank you, Jesus. You know, our Father in heaven is the best father in the world. And I know my husband is an awesome father to his kids, and I'm so thankful to God for him. And not all of us and not all of you have had amazing fathers. We've not all had that experience of a dad being there, a dad loving us, or maybe a dad there but didn't love us, didn't give us the time and the attention that actually the Father in heaven longs for each one of us to have. He longs for us to be loved with that Father's love. He longs for the dads on this earth to love their kids, how God loves them. We've not all had that experience. My parents separated when I was young, and I had stepfathers. I had two. None of them could replace my dad, and I longed to be with my dad. And I did see him, and I've got some great memories. I mentioned one time before that somebody reminded me of this morning that every now and then I would go and stay with my dad for a weekend, whatever. And when I was a teenager, we'd go off to see Dire Straits together. They're my memories. Great memories. And he'd passed away a couple of years ago, and all I've got of him are some photographs. And they're next to my bed, and I've got a photograph of him holding me when I was a baby, about 11 days old, and then he's got his arm around me when I'm about 7 years old, when I went to visit him, and then I've got a picture of him holding my hand on my wedding day, and he's smiling at me. And when he died, somebody bought me a picture frame, and I put this picture next to my bed, of my dad holding, we're looking at each other and he's holding my hand and he's got this amazing smile on his face. He's so pleased. Yeah. And to help, actually God was amazing, because to help me through that time, God said to me, that's how I see you. That's how I see you. I am pleased with you. That's how he sees us. He's so pleased with us. He loves us. So whatever our experience of an earthly father, our Father in heaven, it's just awesome. Listen to some of this. He's the ultimate dad, okay? God our Father is our biggest fan. Okay? God our Father believes in us. God our Father holds our hand and says, do not be afraid. God our Father is always there for us. God our Father wants the best for us. God our Father has all the time in the world for us. Whenever we go to him, he's there. Always there. God our Father doesn't criticize us. Isn't that amazing? He never criticizes you. God our Father wants to bring the best out of us. God our Father only thinks good things of us. God our Father is always happy to see us. And God our Father thinks we're awesome, even if we fail. Amen? He accepts us. He accepts us as we were. We were sinners and he died for us. He approves of us. He approves of you. He's affectionate towards you. He associates with us. He wants us to know that we belong to him and he belongs to us. He has authority, he has the authority to lead us into good things. Amen. He affirms us. Okay. I want to read you this from Psalm 103. It says, the Lord is like a father to his children, tender and compassionate to those who fear him. It says he forgives all our sins. He heals all our diseases. He ransoms me from death and surrounds me with love and tender mercies. He fills my life with good things, and my youth is renewed like the eagles. The Lord gives righteousness and justice to all who are treated unfairly. The Lord is merciful and gracious. He is slow to get angry and full of unfailing love. He does not constantly accuse us, and nor does he remain angry forever. He has not punished us for all our sins, and he doesn't deal with us as we deserve. For his unfailing love toward those who fear him is as great as the height of the heavens above the earth. He understands how weak we are. He knows we are only dust. But the love of the Lord remains forever for those who fear him. Okay, I want to read you this from the truth. This is Romans 8, verse 15. When God came to live in you, he did not lead you back to your past life, making you a slave of fear again. No, you received the Spirit that enables you to live as a son of God. You can call him Father, my Father. The Holy Spirit urges us to remember that we are God's children and to know this deep in our hearts. For if we know we are his children, then we know also that we are his heirs. Yes, we are heirs of God and inherit all his blessings along with Christ. We may have to face cost in being obedient to him, but this is only so that we will also share eternally in his glory. There's even a sense in which we are groaning inwardly. Although we know the Spirit is already at work within us, we long for the time when we will go to be with the Lord as his sons, when we experience the resurrection of our bodies. Isn't that amazing? That is just awesome, that. The Spirit is in us. He wants to constantly remind us that we are sons of God, that we are his children. But although the Spirit is in us and he's working, it's like we're groaning inwardly. We long to be with him. We long to be with him. And it's funny because I spent so many years of my life with this longing to be with my dad because I couldn't be with him. And it's like if you've experienced this, it's I don't know how to explain it, but it's just such a deep thing, a deep longing and something that God can replace. But actually, there's a longing in us to be with the Father. There's a longing in us to be with a Father who loves us. And the only one, the only Father that can love us, that depth that we need, is the Father in heaven. He is the only one. And he is in us, and the Spirit is in us. But finally, when we go to be with him, it's to be with our Father. And he longs to be with us as his sons. Yes, we'll inherit blessings. We're going to be in heaven eternally. It's going to be awesome. But you know what? Inside each one of us is this deep longing and yearning to be with the Father. A Father that loves us, and he longs for us. And he wants to fill that space within each one of us and those out there that don't know him, you know. Jeremiah 31:3, to read this. This is God's heart, how he longs for us. He says, I have loved you with an everlasting love. With unfailing love, I have drawn you to myself. I will rebuild you. You will again be happy and dance merrily. Tears of joy will stream down your faces, and I will lead you home with great care. You will walk beside quiet waters and not stumble, for I am your father. You are my child. The Lord has redeemed you from those too strong for you. Isn't that awesome? God has redeemed you from one who was too strong for you. That's his heart. You will come home and sing songs of joy on the heights. You will be radiant because of the many gifts the Lord has given you. Good crops of wheat, wine and oil, healthy flocks and herds. And your life will be like a watered garden and your sorrows will all be gone. How cool is that, eh? Young women will dance for joy and the men, old and young, will join in celebration. I will turn your mourning into joy. And I will comfort you and exchange your sorrow for rejoicing. He says, I will satisfy my people with my bounty. I, the Lord, have spoken. Aren't they awesome verses? When you apply those to yourself, God's heart is longing. He goes on to say, are you not my darling child? I still love you. I still long for you. And surely I will have mercy on you. Amen. God's heart. And God says in Malachi 1, you know, I have loved you deeply. I have loved you deeply. And he says, I gave up everything that I loved that I might gain your love. So God gave up everything he loved. He gave up his son to gain your love and to gain my love. Isn't that amazing? Okay, Ephesians 3. Now you need to, you listen, are you with me? You're getting from these verses. Soak in the word this morning. Okay. Ephesians 3, verse 14. When I think of the wisdom and scope of God's plan, I fall to my knees and pray to the Father, the creator of everything in heaven on earth. I pray that from his glorious unlimited resources, he will give you mighty inner strength through his Holy Spirit. And I pray that Christ will be more and more at home in your hearts as you trust in him. May your roots go down deep into the soil of God's marvelous love. And may you have the power to understand, as all God's people should, how wide, how long, how high, and how deep his love really is. May you experience the love of Christ, though it is so great you will never fully understand it. Then you will be filled with a fullness of life and power that comes from God. God's plan is that you know and experience his love so deeply, that then you're filled with life and power. It doesn't come any other way. It doesn't come any other way than knowing the depth of his love. At your roots, who you are, no matter where you came from, your roots now go down deep into his love for you. Okay? Jeremiah 17:7. Blessed are those who trust in the Lord. Blessed are those who trust in the Lord and have made the Lord their hope and confidence. They are like trees planted along a riverbank with roots that reach deep into the water. Such trees are not bothered by the heat or worried by long months of drought. This is how we survive as people. This is how we survive. Their leaves stay green and they go right on producing delicious fruit. If you want to produce fruit, if you want fruit to come from your life, your roots go down deep into God. Spend time getting into God, into his word, letting him love you, okay? Your roots will go deep down into him. And then whatever's going on, it says here, they're not bothered by the heat or worried by long months of drought. Your leaves will stay green and you go on producing delicious fruit. You bear fruit when you are plugged into God in a deep way. It's not having to try. It's not trying to be excellent at everything. It's not trying to have a ministry. Your roots go down deep into God. You are going to produce fruit for you, through your life. Amen. And it says delicious fruit. Delicious fruit. I want people to taste my life, taste of me, and see that God is good. I want people to be able to look at my life or taste, if I touch their lives, that they know that God is good. Nothing else matters. I could have, you know, it's not the ministry. It's not being up here. It's not the other stuff I do. It's the fruit, eternal fruit that God wants. Love that's going to touch someone else's life and make a difference in someone else's life. Do we taste good to other people? Do they taste of us and see that God is good? You know, when we're rooted in God like this, we're immovable. We won't be flaky Christians if we're rooted in the love of God. If we have revelation of how much he loves us, how he's forgiven us, what he's done for us, what the word says about us, he's healed us. We won't be flaky Christians. We won't be here for 5 minutes and gone the next. If we're deeply rooted in him, we'll be steadfast forever, whatever comes our way. Our mindset will be one of security. We'll be secure as people. Secure in who we are. If we know how much God loves and accepts us as we are, and as we were, sinners, when we're so secure in that love, so we'll be secure in who we are. And we won't be, you know, trying to be somebody else or wanting to be just this constant striving. But God wants us to be secure in who we are, in how he made you and the gifts and talents he has given you. When you know that he approves of you and he accepts you as you are, you're going to be an amazing, amazing person to pass that on to other people. Because we can only bring security and love into other people's lives, and we've got that ourselves. When we have that revelation, we can lead other people into security and into hope and into believing in themselves. Because that's what people are longing for. They're longing for someone to believe in them. The Father's love heals. Where we're in that place of knowing how much he loves us, he heals us. He heals us emotionally. He heals us mentally. He heals us physically. In every area of our lives, there's healing and there's grace. Are we secure enough in ourselves to approve of others? Are we secure enough in God to give approval to others? Because sometimes I think, you know, I was praying and getting this stuff, and it's like God's speaking to me all the time, you know. If we're not secure, we don't give approval to other people. And God wants us to, because that's his heart. So we need to know that we're approved of by God, and then we can approve of others. Okay? We can give to others when we have the Father's love. When his love is operating in us abundantly and overflowing, we're then able to love others. If we have not got this revelation, we will not be able to love others. If we think God is angry at us, we will get angry with other people. I know, I've been there. If we think God doesn't approve of us, we won't approve of other people. We'll be stingy in encouragement. We won't encourage because it's not in us to encourage, because we don't feel encouraged by our Father. Can you see how this works? You see where we're going? when we live in that love of God, we can give. We can give generously. Galatians 5:6 says the most important thing of all is faith working through love. faith working through love, or faith expressing itself through love. Faith expressing itself in love. And, you know, the Lord's been talking to me about, you know, the words, labour of love. That whatever we do, although it may cost us, we shouldn't see it as a sacrifice. We shouldn't see the cost. But when that love of God is working in our lives, we do what we do because we want to love people. It's a labour of love. Yes, it's hard work to live the Christian life because we're called to live for other people. We're commanded to go to other people. They're not commanded to come to us. You know what's amazing about the fun day that we had last weekend? Was it last weekend? Yeah. They, 3,500 people, came to us. They were in our field. Someone said, they're in our home, they're in our house. And they were. It was awesome. We have been going to Horsham and the area for a long, long time, for many years. They came to us. And I, for one, was rejoicing that we had 3,500 people that didn't know Jesus in our field. They're up at Rothy. I spent the whole day, as much as I could, going around talking to people I didn't know. God brought them to us, even though we're commanded to go to them. We shouldn't expect them to come to us. Yeah, right. We are commanded to go to them. And we're commanded to go in love. Amen? Labour of love. That Jesus came and represented the Father. And that's what he wants us to do. He calls us to do, to represent the Father in this world. And what's interesting, you know, is the Kingdom Faith. Kingdom Faith has an awesome reputation. You know, amongst Christians in this nation, awesome reputation. And it's a reputation of faith. Kingdom Faith, okay? But I know Clive and I said to each other before we were in ministry, when, you know, before we came back here, we said to each other and to God, whatever work we are involved in the future, we don't want it just to be known for its power. We want it to be known for its love. Yes. And I'm before God, and many of us are in Kingdom Faith at the moment, saying, God, whatever is in my life or whatever is in Kingdom Faith that is not operating either out of love or ministering love into other people's lives, then deal with it. Deal with it. You know, just God, do a work in me and do a work in Kingdom Faith that our reputation will be one of loving people, loving who we've got here and loving those around us. And loving our back garden in Rothy here. And you know what's interesting about in Joshua 2, where the Israelites are going in to take the promised land, and they go and spy out Jericho, and they go and they a couple of men go in, and Rahab the prostitute is there. She takes them in into her home, and you know what she says to them? She says, basically, she said, we know your reputation. You have, Israel, you have an awesome reputation. Your God is with you. You have a powerful God. She said, but please, will you be kind to me? Please, will you be kind to me? And the men said, yes, we will. And we guarantee it with our lives. And when I read that, I was so impacted by God, because we have a reputation. But I long for the day that our reputation is love and kindness. That will lead to so many people being free and being made whole. Because it's faith working through love. You can't have one without the other. The one, the hard faith, doesn't do it by itself. It's faith working through love. And faith, you know, we can only do it by faith. Because it's not good works. I'm not saying we're going to go out there and do loads of good works. Loads of people do good works, but it doesn't have the power of God in it. The faith we have, which is awesome in this place, Faith working through love. We've got to believe that when we go out there, we are going to impact somebody's life with the love of God. It is as simple as that. When we love somebody, when we're kind to somebody, when we take them into our homes, when we give them money and see them get out of debt, when we lay hands on the sick, when we love somebody, that is faith working through love. Loving with the Father's heart. Amen. We offer our lives. They offered their lives as a guarantee and the whole family was saved. That's what I long to see. Yes. We lay down our lives as a guarantee that when we do it, God's going to save them. Whole families. Whole families. Come on, church. Yes. This is what we're here for. Will we be kind with this reputation of faith? Okay. Okay, let's move on because we want to pray for some people. These were the men that went in. We need some men of God in this place, loving, being involved in loving our community, in loving in this place, in serving. We have a fatherless generation. And they reckon in America the Father's Day is going to be extinct soon because like one in three have a father now. We need to honour God and we need to honour our fathers because we have a fatherless generation, you know, and we need fathers. God's men can be the only real fathers because they have the Father's heart, okay? Hebrews 6, just go there. This labour of love that we're in. Hebrews 6, verse 10. For God is not unfair or unjust. He will not forget how hard you have worked for him and how you have shown your love to him by caring for other Christians. Or in another version, it said needy Christians. Our greatest desire is that you would keep right on loving others as long as life lasts, in order to make certain that what you hope for will come true. It's interesting, isn't it? Then you will not become spiritually dull or indifferent. If you feel spiritually dull or indifferent, maybe you need to find someone to love. What do you reckon? If your Christianity is dull and indifferent, you find someone to start loving with the love of God, and it's going to change, and they're going to change. Amen? Cool. I want to read you from Job. Now, this is a man of God, okay? Job 29, verse 12. This is a man and a leader. He says, "For I helped the poor in their need and the orphans who had no one to help them. I helped those who had lost hope and they blessed me. And I caused the widow's hearts to sing for joy. All I did was just and honest. Righteousness covered me like a robe, and I wore justice like a turban. I served as eyes for the blind and feet for the lame. I was a father to the poor and made sure that even strangers received a fair trial. I broke the jaws of godless oppressors and made them release their victims. They longed for me to speak as they longed for rain. They waited eagerly, for my words were as refreshing as the spring rain. When they were discouraged, I smiled at them." Do you know how important a smile is to somebody? Yes. Smile. Yeah. I smiled at them. My look of approval was precious to them. I think every one of us here in this room knows what it's like to have approval from somebody. What it feels like when somebody you look up to and you respect smiles at you and gives you a look of approval. Actually, it can be quite rare. But you know, your father, that's what your father does to you. That's what he wants our men in this church to be doing to those around you and into this community, is giving a look of approval. How do you give someone who's in sin a look of approval? Jesus did. Not approving what they do, but approving them as people. It's hard to approve somebody when they're in sin. But that's what God wants us to do. He wants us to love them, approve them, and bring them out. Bring them out. Approve them as a person. I told them what they should do and presided over them as their chief. I lived as a king among his troops and as one who comforts those who mourn. That's the heart of God. And that's how he wants each one of us to live toward one another. Isaiah 59 verse 16 says, God was amazed. He was amazed to see that no one intervened to help the oppressed. So he himself stepped in to save them with his mighty power and justice. And we've got to have that faith. As we step in, we're going to make a difference into somebody's life. Somebody in this room. We can make a difference in their life. Now, I'd like... is John Taylor in here? John, can you come up, mate? And Dave Hellier. Do you have a mic? Can I use a mic from somewhere? Do I use it? Oh, thanks, mate. Now, I'm just going to quickly get John to share, just briefly. Now, John, okay, is a father in this church to not only his own lads, but he and Claire run the contact centre you can explain it better than I can. he's a father to the kids in this community. I'm just going to share how and what the importance of having men involved in this ministry.
For those of you that don't know, the Child Contact Centre is for where there's separated families and the child lives with one of the parents. When we set it up, I think our mindset was that the child would always be living with the mum and the dad would be the visitor. However, that fairly quickly was blown apart when one of the early on ones, it was the other way around, it was the dad that was the resident. Actually, now we've got three where the child is staying with the dad and the mum is a visitor. So suddenly all the mindsets start getting blown apart about what dads are and what we should be doing with people and what all the issues are. And, you know, Claire and I are blessed with four wonderful boys. And in the natural, I would have to turn around and say, you know, I don't think myself is a great dad. But there's something that God does. And certainly from the day that we got saved, there was a reliance on what God was doing. And I look at the families who come into the Child Contact Centre. And I can weep with those dads and with the mums who come in. Because if somebody said to me, go into a strange building once every 2 weeks for 2 hours to play with a child that you only ever now see every other week, I don't know if I could do that. I mean, that, if you just think about it, coming into a strange building and having to spend 2 hours, full time for 2 hours, playing with this child. And we've got children from 1 through to sort of 9, 10 years of age. That is a big task. But I have to tell you, most of those people are just absolutely amazing how they do it. The kids run in, the dads get down, they play with them. And it's a struggle at the end of the 2 hours to get them apart. Many of them could teach us a thing or two about playing with our children. But there's still something that we can impart. And I know that there's something that God is doing through this church, there's something he's doing through the contact centre that is touching people's lives. Just in the way that we relate with the people, the way that people actually want to stay. Now, in Exodus 33, Moses is talking with God and he says, God, if you want me to go up, give me your spirit. Because we can't do this without your spirit. And then Exodus 33:16, one of the finest verses in the whole of Scripture, it says, what else will distinguish me and your people from all the others on the face of the earth? It has to be the Spirit of God. But there is something in me, there's something in the other men and the other dads, and there is in the women as well. But we're talking about dads today. But there is something in the Spirit of God that distinguishes us. It's not about making me a better dad or making me a better parent, because some of those guys, I think, with the Spirit of God, with the right teaching, with the right encouragement, would be amazing parents. But they've never had it. They've never had the teaching. They've never had the encouragement. For most of them, young guys. Mm. You know, they may have had a struggle in their marriage at the beginning, but suddenly a child comes along and they just can't cope. Mm. And you get into all the stuff that goes with it. But, you know, the Spirit of God, we carry that which distinguishes us, that makes us different from the others on the face of the earth.
Mm. Excellent. Thank you. Thanks, John. You know, I'm on the rota for the contact centre, and the first time I went, I just cried and cried and cried. Buckets. Because you see a child run into the arms of their dad, and it always makes me cry. And you see a child leave their dad crying, and I cry, because I know what that feels like. And but, you know, we've got plenty of women on that team. We need some men, because there are lots of men out there on a Saturday in the back here playing with their kids that need some men with them, just being there, chatting. We chat with these parents. And they've seen, the teams in the contact centre have seen some awesome breakthroughs. Awesome breakthroughs. When, you know, God wants to turn the hearts of the children to the fathers and the hearts of the fathers to the children. And that's exactly what that ministry is doing. And guys, we need you in there. We need men of God in there as role models for these young guys who haven't got a clue. And that's all they need, a mentor. Someone who proves with them that when they're playing, it's great. You're playing with your kids. You're doing an awesome job. Okay? Dave, can you just share? Now, I wanted Dave to come up because I was the first fun day we did recently. I was talking to a young mum up there who doesn't come to the church, and she was like, oh, my son loves the bus. He loves it. My kids look forward to it every week, but I can't believe it's not coming anymore. And I said, why? Why is it not coming? She said, oh, they haven't got a driver. And it's like, this is a mum, unsaved, kids wanting to be on that bus, and there's no drivers. And I'm like, God, shall I learn to drive a bus? And God's like, no, that's not your job. There's some other guys in here that need to learn to drive a bus. Dave, can you just share?
Yeah, particular location that we're talking about there is that there's two places we go to in Roffey. And there's two styles of times when we go out with the bus. One's in the afternoon, one's in the evening. And in the evening, it's quite straightforward. You're talking about secondary school age kids, maybe up to 18-year-olds sometimes. And it's great. It's intervention work in lads' culture, mainly, and youth culture. And it's great fun. It's really good to get your teeth stuck into doing health promotion and work around drugs and stuff like that. And we all enjoy doing that because we were all young once and we can all relate to that. But the afternoons is slightly different because the afternoons, we get like 5 to 15-year-olds on board. And that's a real challenge because it's great because we allow people on who are younger if they've got a parent coming with them, which means you get parents. This last week up on South Farms, we had three parents come on board. And at Norfolk Court, which is down Birch's Road, which was where Jane was talking about, we turned up just with a rounder's bat and some colouring in and did that because we couldn't take the bus this week. And we had five parents turn up with their kids. Now, out of all those places that we go, in all the week, we see one dad. Wow. And we may see five parents turn up at one location and three turn up at another bringing their children, but we'll only ever see one dad. And we feel very much that whole sort of fatherless thing. And we know that as the bus team, as the staff, we're there partly to give the parents a bit of a break and help them to discipline their children and to reassure them that the parents, that we're there to support the parents. We're not there to rival them or beat them, and say, oh, you're doing a bad job or whatever. We're there, and so often I hear myself saying, no, listen to your mum. If your mum's told you get your feet off my seats, you get your feet off my seats. the mums feel a bit guilty sometimes when their kids go around. It's like, no, I'm not there to really discipline those children directly. I'm going to use it through the mum. Say, no, listen to your mum. Listen to your mum. We are there building community, and the parents really respond to that, and they really love it because, you don't know how often they get any support.
That's right.
And some of them, the parents come sometimes even without the kids, just to come along and say hi, just because they want to build relationship with us as well. And that's what we really value and what we really want to build into, because we can reach the whole family, and we are reaching the whole family. And I love reaching out to young people because I'm still young at heart. You know, I still wear silly trainers. But when we can reach the whole family like that, it is really, really special.
Excellent. Yeah. Thanks, Dave. Thank you. I know when I mentioned that to Dave and Shelley about Dave saying something, and the storehouse. She said, we have women involved in taking stuff to people's houses, but we need men because the men can talk to the men like no one else can. And they also said, you know, Phil Ball, who drives the bus, the kids see him like a granddad. You know, but he's away at the moment. I don't know how much longer he's going to be driving the bus. We need some men there that these kids will look up to, that will look to. Even if you're just there, they might see you as a dad or a granddad or a big brother. But this is the heart of God. This is the love of God. This is our labour of love, guys. Actually, he doesn't know I'm going to do this, but Paul, can you come up here a second? Chris, who's a single parent in our church, was telling me on Friday what you've been doing with her, with her son. Okay, can you tell us what you've been doing with Ben? Can you remember? That's what he did when I said to him. What did you do yesterday?
Oh, right, yesterday. I like to go fishing every now and again. This year I've got out once, which is yesterday. So I thought I need a good reason to go, apart from just enjoying it. Chris and Ben and Jade are in the life group. And I thought, well, let's take Ben. So that's where yesterday started. So I thought, let's take Ben out. And then I thought, my Dave's was available, so he's always good with he's great with the younger people. Excellent. So he came. And then Jonathan Simmons, I've taken him once before, and he came. So we had a great, there's four of us. We had a great time. The afternoon got going.
Okay.
But, you know, I was listening to what Jane was saying, and I think, personally, and my view is I'm totally useless with kids. I don't feel I succeeded particularly well with Dave. So all I was doing with Ben was saying, if you want to come with me, just come along. You know, you take me as you find me. I'm pretty quiet. And, you know, I was waiting to find out from Chris whether actually Ben actually enjoyed the day.
He did.
He did, he? Oh, good.
He loves it.
Well, that's all right. That worked. The reason I say that is that if you sit there and you feel, no, it's not me, just actually being with someone evidently makes a difference.
That's right.
I mean, that's all I did. We went fishing. We went around a bit on the estate. And I was just with him.
Yeah.
You know, I was him and he was... I was myself and he was him, and we just go on.
Yeah. Thank you.
Is that what you wanted?
Cheers. Thank you. And he also helped Ben set up a computer table in Ben's house, Chris was telling me, and Ben used the drill. Okay. Now, this is a lad who hasn't got a dad around. It was so important. So important to him. Okay. It's time to pray. When I was praying, I just really felt God wanted to minister to some guys. And if you're a guy here and you particularly related to the first part on not having that role model around, not having that guy around in your life that has left a longing in your heart, has left a void. If you're a guy that knows you don't know the love of God like he wants you to know it, would you come down the front? Because God wants to minister to you today. And also, I want any single parents to come down the front as well, if you're here. I know it's being brave. Any single parents come down, because what I want to do is is the guys that we pray for. I want you to pray for single parents. And I really felt this morning that's what God wanted to do. Could we have Chad, can you come up for us? Thank you. Any other single parents here? God wants to minister to you. They're all ready and willing to come down. Look at these mums. Okay, any guys? Any guys here that know they want to meet with God? You can all come down if you like, I don't mind. You want to meet with God. You want God to meet with you and touch you in a way that you have that love, His love, His love. It's going to change your life, but it's going to change the lives that He wants you to touch. Can you come down the front as well? Thank you. Thank you, Jesus. Okay. Gary, yeah. John, can you come and pray? Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. If you want to reach others in a powerful way, you want your roots to go deeper, and you want God to give you revelation. Come on, guys, come on down. Thank you, Jesus. You know, if you don't have to be a guy here to receive the love of God, you know. If you know you want to receive the love of God in that deep, deep way, for Him to be your Father, just receive right where you are. Or ask somebody to pray with you. Have a look around you. If someone's crying, go and sit next to them. Tell somebody's upset, go and sit with them. Any more guys to come down here and be prayed for? Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Father, we thank you today. Oh, Jesus, do a deep work, Lord. Do a deep work. Do a deep work, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Can the rest of you stand? Reach out your arms to these guys, because God wants to do a powerful work in these lives, in these hearts, and in these minds today. Stretch out your hands toward them and pray for them. Thank you, Jesus. Father, fill these guys today with your love. Lord, fill them today. Lord, fill them. Fill them to overflowing, Father, with your love. Father, you come right now with your healing grace and you minister your love to these guys. You minister your acceptance to these guys. You minister, Lord God, right now, your approval into these men's hearts and minds. That you accept them, that you will love them, Lord, that you will never leave them or forsake them, Father. Lord, deal with every issue that has been operating in them because their dads haven't been around. We just bind anger. We bind it up. We bind it up. That frustration, we bind it up. We say, be gone. Be gone today in the name of Jesus. Father, come and do a deep healing, sovereign work in these men, Lord God. We speak freedom. Freedom over you today. Freedom from long-standing issues in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Father, we thank you. Their roots are going to go deep. They're going to go deep into your love today. Jesus. Jesus. We
off right now. We cut off any root that's not from your Father in heaven, that's still attached to you. We cut it off in the name of Jesus, that today your lives and your hearts and minds and spirit be rooted in a living God, in your everlasting Father. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. You know, he's called Almighty God. He is your Almighty God, your wonderful counselor. He is your wonderful counselor. Let him counsel you. Let him counsel you. He is your everlasting Father. Your everlasting Father. Thank you, Jesus. And he is your Prince of Peace. Thank you, Jesus, today your peace fills these guys. Your peace, Lord, will fill these men. Envelop them, Lord. Envelop them, Lord. Heal them, Lord. Deliver them, Lord, today. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Now, you guys, as you've been prayed for, I want you to go and get alongside one of these mums, okay? If you've been prayed for, go and get alongside one of these mums, and I want you to ask them how many children they've got, okay? Ask them how many children they've got, and I want you to pray for them. I want you to pray for the children and pray for the mum. Can you do that? If you've been prayed for, any of you other men, if you want to come and pray with any of these single parents, if you feel from God today, God has challenged you to be a father to the fatherless. If God has challenged you, and hopefully he has today, you want to be a father to the fatherless. You want to be a father to the orphans. Come and stand with these women and come and pray for them. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Any more guys out there that want to honour the Father's heart today? Come down and pray for these mums. If you can't do it for them, you won't do it out there. Come on, guys. Are you going to honour your Father in heaven today and his word this morning? And pray for these mums. Pray for these children that don't have dads around. This is our labour of love. Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you for listening to this Kingdom Faith podcast. We trust it's been an encouragement to you. For more information and resources by Kingdom Faith and for our other audio and video podcasts, please visit kingdomfaith.com.